Come first light, another soul is born. Through screams of pain and joy, until this world is thrown. Arrivals and departures, postcards in between. Life as you know it, it's only a dream.
Arrivals and Departures is a great song written by our guest for this episode, Captain Blue Tongue, from the Blues Preachers. As promised, this is a follow-on from our chat last episode with the other half of the Blues Preachers, Brother John. Now we get to hear the captain's side of the story. And I suggest you follow along with the show notes at www.stasisplace.com.au, where I have a number of links coming from the chat. And now, here's the captain. And now I'm joined by the man himself, Captain Blue Tongue from the Blues Preachers. We've heard of Brother John in the previous episode. Now we hear the other side of the story from the captain himself. Good evening, Captain. How are you?
Good yourself. How you doing now?
I'm good. The first thing I got to do is ask, where did the name come from?
The captain? Oh, that's a funny story, that one. Well, sort of funny for us anyway. We were going to sign a record deal over in Melbourne for a digital release, and it had on the form, we're just a couple of guys, musicians in Melbourne that, you know, just were down there, and we had to fill out this legal application form. It said, what's your nature in the business? So I think I said, oh, I'm the captain, just for a joke. And then we put John down as the first mate. And it just sort of stuck there, you know. I think it said something like, "What's your rank in the business?" or something like that. Or yeah, it was like a very weird thing from a musician's point of view to fill out, you know.
Yes.
Like, who's the CEO of the Blues Preachers? That sort of vibe, you know.
Yeah. It's it seems like a very, very strange question to be asking a pair of musos, really. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But yeah, original answer, and the Blue Tongue just came out, I guess, did it?
Well, I've always run the Blue Tongue Harmonica School for a long time, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been teaching harmonica through the Blue Tongue Harmonica School for over 10 years, so that's where that was sort of. That's where the Blue Tongue comes from, you know.
Okay.
Plus, it's Australian.
Yes, it's Australian. An Australian.
Got a bit of a pirate edge around it, you know.
Yeah.
Blue Tongue, red beard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that balances up the spiritual nature of Brother John very nicely, I reckon.
Yeah, well, we're both pretty spiritual guys, you know. But
I know, but perception-wise, you know,
a bit of comedy in there to yeah.
You're the light relief.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you born and bred?
Born in Sydney, but my roots go back to England. To Leeds, actually, in England. But I was the only one born here.
Ah, okay. So your family came out from Leeds, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, came out as Pound Poms.
Yeah.
Typical tight ass Yorkshire people. we'll go to Australia. It's only going to cost 10 quid. That sounds all right.
Yeah. Mind you, guessing at the timing, it might have been Leeds might have been going through a bit of hardship in those days.
It always is. It still is. I've got relatives over there. It's a great place, but soul of the earth, the Yorkshire people. They're great. I went over there for a couple of years, you know. But it's known as a sort of a tight sort of, you know, people have to work hard for a dollar there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's been through some tough times. That's for sure. Similarly, like Sheffield, similar sort of area, isn't it, to Sheffield?
Yeah, it's very close. It's not far from Sheffield. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm thinking of the
Sheffield's got a shit football team now, you know. That's the only problem. Sheffield Wednesday. Well, you know. Anyway.
Okay.
Another.
Let's not get on to sport. That's my other side.
No, that's right. We'll get away from that. I think it's only this year Yorkshire's got a team that's actually crawled out of the Championship and in Premier League with Hull. But anyway, that's another issue.
Okay.
Nothing to do with music or spiritual concerns. I mean, football can be a religion, but not for me, mate.
No. So what sort of work did your dad do?
My dad was a painter.
Okay.
Painter and decorator, yep.
Yeah. And mum, stay-at-home mum?
No. We owned a shop, actually. She was a shopkeeper in England and in Australia.
Okay.
I grew up in the back of a shop, and when the shop turned down, I closed it. I went through all my different, I turned it into a jam room for bands and stuff, you know.
Okay.
Used to blow all, when it was Barella, actually, blow Barella apart with Led Zeppelin music and stuff like that. I know, well, it'd be kind of weird to transport back in there now.
And I take it you, from what you said, you were the only one born here. You've got some siblings?
Yeah. Well, I've got two brothers now. Yeah, I've got two brothers. One of them, I had three. One passed. One was in the Granville train disaster, actually.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, which he died in that. I've got two brothers. Yeah, I was too young to affect me. Did obviously affected me, but he was moved out. And you know, three kids and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Did it affect your parents pretty hard, I would think?
Oh, of course. Definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, shocking. Go to work, leave home in the morning and don't come home at night.
That's it. Yeah.
What sort of work did you take up? You're teaching harmonica these days, but was that always you?
Oh, look, like a lot of people, you know, I do bits of this and bits of that, you know, in between time. Nothing major to, you know, no careers or anything. But, yeah, taught harmonica, play in bands, do a few things here and there to scratch, get a dollar, you know what I mean?
So how did you get into music in the first place?
Well, I just loved it, you know. It was just what I always wanted to do. I was always a singer, and then I ended up playing harp as well.
Okay.
But I was always been singing in bands forever, you know.
So were your parents musical at all? Did you get it from there?
No, one of my brothers was.
Okay.
One of my brothers was a school music teacher in Bowral High, actually.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you did that straight from school?
Yeah. What you mean, play music?
Yeah.
I did it while I was at school.
Yeah.
I did it while I was at school.
Right.
It's not something you can, unless you teach, it's not something that you can, you can make money out of it. That's not right. You got to hook up with the right people, you know. But I guess what I'm trying to say is it was never something that was a major project like the Blues Breeches when I was playing in bands. It was just like a typical, you know, fun thing, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't like you said out, oh, I'm going to make my living as a musician. It just...
I always said that, but it never happened. Well, I started teaching harmonica, so that made money out of that. It was good.
Well, that's where the money is, if any. Well, unless you get really big, and then it's difficult to hold on to, isn't it?
Well, you can have whatever you believe, really. It's a matter of just having faith in it, you know, really.
Did you marry? Have you married and got kids?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Mm. Happily married with two boys, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
And are they into music as well, like John's?
No, not at all.
He even told me that his boys were actually better than he was.
Yeah, well, they're good. Yeah, they're definitely good, yeah.
Yeah, okay. On Divine Justice,
mm-hmm.
What is the harmonica you're playing in that? It's almost like a small mouth organ, like a small organ, I should say.
It's a bass harmonica, so it's a chromatic harmonica, but it sounds only produced by blowing.
Okay.
So instead of sucking, it's a chromatic bass harmonica. They use the same harmonica on Pet Sounds album with the Beach Boys on Good Vibrations, I think it was.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just struck me. I thought, oh, what is he playing there? I knew it must have been some sort of mouth organ, but yeah, or harmonica, I should say, to use the correct term.
Oh, mouth organ's all right. Doesn't matter. I'm not a harmonica Nazi. You know, I like the harmonica. I think I love the harmonica, but I think the main thing about it is it's got to be, you know, it's a less is more instrument, or unless you're playing chromatic, but it's basically what it is. It's a lead instrument, so it's never going to be as it's not the cake is what I'm trying to say. It's the icing on the cake. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And sometimes if you have too much icing on a cake, it gets a bit sort of cheesy and doesn't taste as nice. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So sometimes you don't need harmonica or icing on a cake. You need other types of icing. So yeah, so I play sort of looking at more into harmony and singing as well as harmonica playing and guitar and stuff like that, you know.
Do you play guitar yourself?
I do, yeah, I do. I'm nowhere near at the same sort of level as John's, but I more play it for writing. But I'm working on that side of my musicianship to be more sort of involved in that, for sure. Yeah, I love guitar.
Okay. Yeah, but you've got a hard act to follow with John.
Well, I'd never try and follow that. It'd be more a fit, see if there's something that can fit in together, you know.
Yes, yeah, of course.
See if it works together, yeah.
Well, let's get together with John. And where did that happen for you?
With John?
Yes.
Well, we were both sort of like teachers, around teachers, and I was looking for someone to play guitar with, and we just sort of hooked up. I think that's, from memory, I think that's what happened. We sort of knew of each other. I asked him if he wanted to have a look at doing some gigs or something like that, and that's where it went from.
Went from that. So how was the Blues Preachers concept born?
John's been doing Blues Preachers for a long time with all different sorts of lineups. So I just sort of slotted into to what was sort of already rolling along in another shape or form.
Okay. But you fitted in real well with that because you're both quite spiritual, aren't you?
Yeah, but so it's probably the first time the Blues Preachers has been a complete spiritual band, that's one thing,
mm-hmm.
from what he tells me.
Yes.
The other thing is it's our own sound, you know. We have our... You know, a lot of people play the songs that we play, but some or all of them, but apart from the originals. But we have our own sort of natural. We're very lucky that our voices blend. Basically, we're very lucky.
Mm.
So it's almost like we're brothers in that respect. That our voices just naturally go together. And no matter how good John is on guitar or I am on harmonica or whatever, it's not really about that. It's about the harmonies. Is what everyone tells us. That's what sets us apart. I mean, there's a lot of great acts out there where they've got a guitar and harmonica player. So what? I mean, not to say what's saying that. I mean, that's great, but I'm saying is the new sound is that what everyone says to us, it's all in the harmonies.
It sure
that's
is.
That's what makes us different because our voices blend, you know.
Mm.
So, yeah, we've got lots of things to develop. We've got to look more into the sort of Appalachian Mountain type stuff as well, you know, and more originals is sort of where we're going at the moment.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, I said to John, one of the things I love was that you've sort of, up till now, have worked within a boundary of time, if you like, what I would think the late 20s and the 30s as being
exactly.
sort of the core period. And not many people are doing that. It's in different forms. And you seem to have captured that period in some way, even with the originals you've done with it, like Freight Train and Divine Justice. It's almost like they came out of that period, but they're new and they're original.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's true, but, you know, it's still got it, like they are original. So they're still two white guys, two white guys playing black, African-American music. So, but the originals have still, that's the influence, you know, so that's always going to be there for sure. But it's time for us to say something. You know, like that's what we started with, Divine Justice and Free Trade Agreement. Is, you know, it's our job to talk about things that matter, and you can't do that by constantly playing songs that you can with some songs, but you can't really talk about current social justice issues if you're singing songs that were written in 1920. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's our job, is to capture that sound And look, I mean, there are a lot of songs in the 1920s that would still resonate today, but because a lot of them have been bastardized too by rock and roll bands, so they've lost a lot of the meaning. You know what I mean?
Mm, they've been gentrified.
Yeah, they've been gentrified. They've been watered down. They've had the meaning taken away. They've been raped and pillaged. Mm. You know, like a lot of the songs. You know, they've just, you know, oh, here's a cool riff. Let's just play that one. Don't worry about the rest of the song. You know, twist the meaning around. You got to be true to the song, and that's what we're going to do with the originals too.
But you know, there's a sense, I believe, that period of history, you were saying, you know, you're white guys playing black music, but at that period, the poor white guys were in just as much strife.
Oh yeah, look, there's a whole lot of other stuff that we do too, which we'll probably, you know, which we'll do live. We may record some of it, and that's that whole Appalachian sort of hillbilly sort of stuff. But it's white people playing the black stuff, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of white stuff. I think of the Brother Where Art Thou album and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, but I think the point being that the issues in the 20s and 30s are still the issues we've got today too.
They are the issues that we've got today. They are, but the difference is they're magnified because the machine of the world is more of a monster, and it's got more legs, but it's also a lot weaker now because it's about to die. In my opinion, it's like a roller coaster. The problem, look, in my opinion, to put you blunt, it's always the same thing. The problems we've got in the world today is the same things we had before, and it's a lack of belief, a lack of faith, and a lack of love, you know, for your fellow man. And that's whether that's in 1920 or 2017, it's the same deal. People being egomaniacs, caring about their selfish little ways, you know.
Exactly, and the greed is ruling everything.
It is. It's not just greed, though. Like, people are basically nice people. Most people are basically really nice people. It's not really just greed, it's fear.
Okay, you want to expand that?
It's fear. They want to hold on to their little nest egg because they don't trust the person next door that's going to take it off them.
Okay.
The person who gave it to him is looking down on them. Well, I mean, the person who can give it to him is looking down on both of them, looking at the games we're playing, you know, thinking, what are you guys doing?
Okay. Where does the answer lie?
Well, you know, I'm going to say the answer is with Jesus. That's what I'll say every time.
Right.
Every time, you know, but this is not a religious show, but or whatever God you want to look to. But the answer is definitely, the answer is love. Basically, love one another. That's the answer. John Lennon said that way back, you know.
Of course.
Love is the answer, and he's right on the money there.
I totally agree with you, by the way. I'm not sure about the Jesus part, but the love part I certainly do. And, you know, the blues is not irreligious. I think there's a lot of...
There's two sides of blues. There's the gospel blues, like Blind Willie Johnson, and then there's the voodoo blues, like Muddy Waters.
Okay, voodoo blues, okay.
And I like Muddy Waters. Like, how can you be a harp player without doing that? But what I'm saying is there's that whole New Orleans voodoo sort of... It's just people that don't know any better that are getting drunk and playing music. But, you know, a song like Mojo, you know, I've got my mojo working.
Yeah.
Like a mojo... A mojo is a mummified human hand.
Okay.
That's what it is from the African slave trade. And so it's a good luck charm. So it's like a rabbit's foot, but worse, because it's a human child's hands, you know. It's mummified.
Oh, I never realised that.
So I've got my black cat bone and I've got my mojo too. I've got my Johnny Cockeroo. I'm going to mess with you, you know. I'm going to make all those women jump and shout. And they, you know, that's really, you know, it's almost like a witch doctor thing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, yes.
And then you've got on the other side of the coin, you've got like, Blind Willie Johnson saying we're going to need somebody on our bond. You know, we need someone talking about Jesus. And then in the middle of it, you got, you know, this is the other thing, in the middle of it, you got Robert Johnson, right?
Yes.
People say Robert Johnson went to the crossroads to sell his soul.
Yeah, what's all that about?
Well, this is just my opinion, but people go to the crossroads in the Delta, the actual crossroad where he apparently sold his soul, and it's a tourist attraction. I think there's even probably a sign there.
Yes.
In my opinion, the crossroads was actually within his heart.
Okay.
Because if you look at some of the words to some of his songs, he knew what he was doing was wrong, and he was scared because he had, you know, he's got I've got a hellhound on my trail. Like, he knew what was going on.
Okay.
So the crossroads was actually in his heart. I don't think the devil's going to put, oh, okay, here's a physical, this crossroad in the middle of America, this is where it's all going to happen. The devil doesn't strike on the road, he's on earth, strikes within your heart. Your heart's got to be pure, brother. That's where you figure out what's going on. It doesn't matter if you're at crossroads or on the top of Uluru or a Circular Quay. The war is an internal war. Spiritual warfare is an internal thing. It doesn't happen out, you know. Leave that for the people with the guns, you know.
It's the major choices you make too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Just getting back to it, you've hinted at the Appalachian stuff. Is that where you might be going to in your next album?
Look, I think we have to get together and work it out. I think the next album is going to be probably more original album than anything we've ever done before. And I think it'll be a melting pot of our influences. That still fit in the same paradigm, you know, sort of blues preachers sound that work with the blues preachers.
Of course. Yeah, that's a bit where Brother John was going. It's sort of like we need to do something a little different or a little new, but with the same tone, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've both got other influences as well that fall outside of the genre that the blues preachers are renowned for, but we're not going to force that straight onto the, you know, it's going to be something that works, but, you know, there's heaps of stuff to work with.
Do you write as well?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Okay. So do you sit down together and write them, or do you write them individually and pull them together?
No, look, I brought a song, there's a song on our last album, Arrivals and Departures, that I wrote, and then John wrote the chords for the chorus. That was one situation like that, but most of the stuff, what we'll be doing, or, you know, we add bits and pieces here and there, but it's generally one person's song. And then, I don't think we haven't got the time to sit together and write together as much either. But I think it sort of changes the vibe of a song if you try and do it together. I think it's, well, here's a song, and then you add to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you collaborate on it from there once you've got a basis to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the way a lot of Lennon McCartney stuff was done that way too.
I was going to say that, you know, even though I said Lennon and McCartney, they made a decision in the start that it was always going to be Lennon and McCartney, even though Lennon might have wrote the whole song or vice versa.
And you could tell which one's John's and which one's Paul's.
Of course you can, yeah, yeah, definitely. I love the Beatles.
John's had a bit of edge to it, whereas I don't know if it's the right word, but I always thought Paul McCartney was a bit wussy. In comparison.
Yeah, but he was a genius too. He was with, you know, with some of the stuff like Yesterday and that, you know.
But it just, it was always the softer, sweeter type stuff, or not sweet so much as...
But I mean, look, solo album-wise, I think Lennon was way better, in my opinion. But then both of them, you know, overshadowed George Harrison more than, he was great too, you know. So.
Well, that's right. Ringo didn't come out with a lot.
Yeah, Ringo had character.
He had the character, exactly.
He was the Keith Moon of the Beatles, but without the skills.
Yeah, but he was obviously a good drummer because that's why they replaced him in the first place, wasn't it? Or they brought him in.
I don't know. Apparently. Someone asked him if he was the best drummer in the world, and they said he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. At an interview once.
Okay.
I think Paul played a lot of the drums in the last couple of albums.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we're working on a new album. We have no timetable for it or anything as yet. Where do you see yourself heading in the future? Where do you have other ideas, other ambitions that you want to pursue?
Not really, no. No, I just...
You don't have to. I'm just asking.
You mean musically or in what way?
In what way? Do you feel like travelling, for instance? Or, I mean, you'd be quite happy just being part of the Blues Preachers for the rest of your life, possibly?
Yeah, and just, you know, of course, family's the most important thing. So bringing up kids, having a good time with the family and doing the Blues Preachers, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
There are other things that we might work with and see what happens, you know? Like, we just both wrote a bunch of songs, and if the song's got legs for the Blues Preachers, then they'll be played in the Blues Preachers. If they're any good and they have the right to be played elsewhere, then that will happen too, you know? It's just a matter of just writing and seeing what comes out.
Okay. And have you travelled?
It's hard to project ahead, you know? It's hard to project. Yeah, I've been over to England and Italy.
Okay.
America. Yeah.
On your own or with the family?
No, went to England for a couple of years.
Okay.
And Italy and stuff, yeah, it was good.
And you decided to come back and be an Australian, yeah?
That's it. That's the best country in the world, mate.
It sure is. Sure is. And it just went out of left field. Are you a pets man? Do you have pets?
I'm a dog person.
You're a dog person? Not a cat person?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I need too much attention to have a cat.
Oh, excellent answer. Excellent answer. Oh, well, I've got both here just to keep me balanced, you know?
Yeah.
But you're right. You're right. The cat demands, cats have staff, you know? That's it.
They have staff. That's right. They're rude. They just, I like things to be balanced, and I can't work with animals that don't know their place in the food chain, you know? I just don't understand it. If a cat's going to be in charge, then tell them to run. They might do a better job than half the politicians, but they've got to learn to speak.
Well,
then they'll be able to sit in my chair.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you could answer though, because dogs always love you. It doesn't matter.
That's it.
Yeah. What sort of dog do you have?
I've got a Labradoodle.
Have you really? A Labradoodle?
Yep. A chocolate one, yeah.
Oh.
Charlie, he's awesome.
I follow a couple of people on Instagram that breed Labradoodles, and
whereabouts?
Well, I think one's in Sydney. Didn't sort of really take much notice.
Yeah, down from Queensland.
Ah, okay.
Like, him and his sister down from Queensland. Yeah.
And you took the boy, and the sister went somewhere else. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
One of the crowds actually trained them as assistance dogs, Labradoodles.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the poodle is one of the smartest dogs.
Yeah. For sure.
We have cavoodles, cavalier and poodles, and you don't get much more love than a cavoodle, I tell you. They're amazing.
I know.
But Labradoodle, big softies and smart as well.
Yeah,
they're
good.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, we had a convertible. He was gorgeous.
All right. Apart from your faith, do you have an interest in any other causes or interests as such?
Music, just bringing up my kids, football, you know. My son was a good soccer player, which is why I like football.
Okay. You say past tense, he's not at the moment?
He's growing up, he's not really playing at the moment now, so. But no, just music. I mean, there's enough going on with music, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And the Lord to try and cover everything, you know.
Yeah, I wonder how you fit it all in, really, the two of you.
Yeah, well, we do what we can.
All right, well, I think we'll leave it there, Captain Bluetongue.
It's been really nice talking to you, man.
Thank you
very much for your time.
Oh, no, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
We hope to see you at a gig soon, eh?
Yeah, well, we will. You're on at Threadbow, and are you doing... There was another one I saw coming up after
Goulburn.
That. Goulburn. Yeah, you're going down to Goulburn?
Yeah, we're playing at Goulburn as well.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah, Goulburn Blues Festival. And then we're working on some other gigs here and start getting things rolling again, so...
When you've got a gig coming up, how far ahead do you start working out what you're going to play and... Do you get together and do some extra rehearsals or what?
Yeah, we do, Mike. It just depends on which way, you know, how important the gig is. If it's our own show, how much we've got to promote it. We pretty much promote everything, you know. Actually, I just saw something on your website. You're into Lutzu and all that sort of stuff, are you?
Sorry?
You're into the Dowdy Jing and all that
yes,
sort of stuff?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Well, actually, you know, there is one thing I didn't. You asked me a question which I should go back to, is that you asked what other interests I have.
Mm-hmm.
Natural therapies, actually.
Okay. What, practicing them?
Yeah, well, I'm a shiatsu therapist.
Okay.
And my wife works at a natural therapies college as well. And I also, it just caught me my eye when you had about Lao Tzu. I also studied a lot of that stuff because I almost finished my diploma of traditional Chinese medicine.
Ah, TCM.
I did like 3 years of acupuncture and herbs.
Okay.
And then I had my youngest child, so I didn't continue on with that. But I just got into music, you know. I love all that stuff too. I love martial arts, sort of kung fu stuff, and all that sort of Chinese side of things, you know.
Yeah, well,
so there is something else. Yeah.
We are on the same wavelength. My wife is a herbalist and a nutritionist. She's got her degrees in that. And
where are?
Well, we're just practicing. She's practicing from home at the moment. She's had a clinic.
No. Where did she study?
I think she went to Uni of New South Wales, but I'm not sure. She's done a lot of stuff over the years. A lot of diplomas and stuff like that in different areas, because she does she does a lot of detoxes using an acupressure technique that she learned a long time and has great success with. So people come to her, and I think there's a link on my website to Shivana Health. That's my wife's business, and I teach. I have with her taught a bit of qigong. That's sort of my side, qigong and. And I do some energy healing with my hands
What style of qigong do you do?
I do one that I learnt in a thing called Nine Phase, which I learnt from a...
Robert and Zell?
No. It's a thing called Nine Phase Qigong, and it's by a guy called Roger Janke.
Okay.
Would you believe this? I was living in country Victoria at the time, and I travelled to a little Jewish summer camp at Wembley, Texas, to learn qigong from this... ex-Czechoslovakian guy that lives in the US. So, you know, centuries-old Chinese practice, and that's where I learned it, in a Jewish summer camp in Texas. Of course, I do meditation and, yeah, so.
Yeah, cool.
Your wife and my wife should be talking.
I like Charlie Foot sort of kung fu and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't got into it that heavily, yeah. I'm more the slow inward generation of energy thing for me, yeah.
Yeah, good. Nice.
And meditation. Well, I love teaching meditation. All right. Well, Captain Bluetongue, the other half of the Blues Preachers, that pretty much wraps it up. Thank you very much again for your time.
Thank you, mate. Thanks very much, Mike. Cheers. All right, mate.
Thanks, mate. Good talking to you. Bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. See you, mate. Bye-bye.
Well, what an interesting guy is Captain Bluetongue. And aren't the Blues Preachers a really balanced couple of guys, particularly in their beliefs? I'm really looking forward to hearing what they do come out with on their next album. And don't forget to check out the links from items mentioned in the chat at www.stasisplace.com.au, where you can also subscribe to the podcast to automatically get new episodes. Let me leave you with a little more of Arrivals and Departures as I depart. Thank you for listening, folks. Bye for now. When you come out of the womb,
until your mother's breast, and tears fill the room as you enter the nest. Someone else is dying, their body laid to rest. Sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. When you crawl around in wonder at all the colors of the rainbow, got no worry to ponder and no place to go. When you take your first step and you utter your first word, you're as fresh as a daisy, as free as a bird. Arrivals and